Good Friday. How can one describe such a day? The wrongdoing of all humanity, putting to an end an innocent man, the Son of God. This is the story of Jesus' death by way of a cross, all in one moment bringing death to the bright light of our future. He never stopped loving us, and yet this is the incredible part of it. Our sin stopped his heart. Our sin drove the nails firmly in the hands of God. All along, these were the plans. We told ourselves that we were in control, and this was deemed sufficient for all of us. The brutal beating, the inhuman flogging, the naked humiliation. Heaven watched and saw it all. Our rebellion, our guilt, our shame, erasing the very notion of reconciling us with God. Our sin and our debt, overcoming Jesus. Here is our King, obliterated. The enemy laughing, his plans unstoppable. There's no longer the sound of freedom rising. Now God's people are utterly broken. Behold the chains of mortality. Yes, this is what is true. We had heard the stories of old. The lost are found, the blind can see, the weak are made strong. But now we are witnesses to this reality. God is dead. We'd almost believed there is a way of redemption. There is a life of fulfillment. There is a peace beyond understanding. Now we know better. For us, we can say that God is encapsulated in this one realization. The single greatest sacrifice in human history is finished. How clearly we can see it. So what's so good about Good Friday? Just one thing, that the blood of Jesus can reverse the curse of sin and raise the dead to life. How clearly we can see it is finished. The single greatest sacrifice in human history encapsulated in this one realization. We can say that God is for us. Now we know better. There is a peace beyond understanding. There is a life of fulfillment. There is a way of redemption. We had almost believed God is dead, but now we are witnesses to this reality. The weak are made strong. The blind can see. The lost are found. We had heard the stories of old. Yes, this is what is true. The chains of mortality utterly broken. Behold, freedom rising. Now God's people are unstoppable. There's no longer the sound of the enemy laughing. His plans obliterated. Here is our King, Jesus, overcoming our sin and our debt, reconciling us with God, erasing the very notion of our rebellion, our guilt, our shame. Heaven watched and saw it all, the naked humiliation, the inhuman flogging, the brutal beating, and this was deemed sufficient for all of us. We told ourselves that we were in control. All along, these were the plans firmly in the hands of God. Our sin drove the nails. Our sin stopped his heart. And yet, this is the incredible part of it. He never stopped loving us. The bright light of our future, all in one moment, bringing death to death by way of a cross. This is the story of Jesus, the Son of God, an innocent man putting to an end the wrongdoing of all humanity. How can one describe such a day? Good Friday.
Happy Easter, everyone. He is risen. Good Friday has turned into Easter Sunday. Death has been swallowed up in victory, says 1 Corinthians 15:54. We've been reflecting on the theme, in remembrance of me. We've been reflecting on the body and the blood. Today we will celebrate that victory and remember in communion, anticipating the day Jesus comes again to the great banquet. When Jesus shared the bread and the cup at the Last Supper, he said, "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Scripture assures us of joining Jesus in celebration when it comes, celebration to come, when it says, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage banquet of the Lamb."
Oh, I guess you're here for the party?
Well, what party? I'm a little confused.
You know, yeah, so am I. But I got this invitation.
Oh, me too.
And now, here I am. I'm finding myself here. And look, this place, this seat, it's got my name on it.
Oh, me too.
I don't know. There was this flash, and now I find myself here.
Me too.
But this is amazing. What a spread. It looks...
heavenly.
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Oh, well, hello.
Hello. I saw this flash of light, and now I'm here. Is this real?
I don't know, but it certainly seems real.
What are we celebrating? Is it a birthday party?
We don't know for sure, but it's certainly some kind of party.
What is this? I was in the Ukrainian military, and it was cold. We were fighting for our homelands, for my wife and my children. Now I'm here.
I think there's probably a place at the table here for you.
Artem. That's my name. I must be invited to this party.
I had cancer.
What?
I had cancer, and I had to go to the doctor a lot, and I had to take a lot of medicine, and then there was this flash of light.
Oh, well, hello there. Let me guess. You saw a flash of light.
Yes, here I am. I was a teacher in a Christian school. And the rebels come and trying to shooting, harming a lot of children. I was trying to stop them. But I can't. What's this fist? What's this fist? This is a feet like a king. It's a banquet like a feet like a king.
I was wondering, are you my new family?
What?
Well, I was wondering if you were my new family, because, you know, I've been, in and out of homes for a while, and the social worker said my mom and dad didn't really take care of me, and, you know, there have been, like, a lot of good homes, and, like, some, like, the complete opposite, and, I mean, this place, everything here just kind of feels like my real home.
Well then, welcome home.
Could it be?
What?
Like, could it be? Could it just be that this is the banquet?
What banquet?
The long promised one. The last banquet. The one that Jesus always talked about. The promise of heaven. Are we invited to this party? Why, yes, we are. Glory be.
By your side, and I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. And I can only imagine
be still.
forever worship you.
Thank you.
sun was darkened and the heavens thundered, and for a moment death had thought it conquered. It wasn't over till you said it's over. Your word is greater still. Your perfect sacrifice, your body broken.
Thank you for that, worship team. That was beautiful. Welcome to New Life. My name is Jake Kostelik, and I will be your host here this morning. I know we're not allowed, or we don't have favorite children as parents. There's no such thing as that. But I feel like I need to admit that there is such thing as a favorite church service of the year for me, and that's this one. I love Easter Sunday. I love coming here and celebrating. I love just being able to be here with this community, being so grateful and thankful for what Jesus did for us. I love seeing the faces that are familiar that we've seen here for many years, returning family members that have been a part of this community and are now back visiting for the weekend. And I love seeing new faces. So regardless of how you got here this morning, we are so thankful and I am so grateful that you are here. You've come to a place that I think is pretty cool. To celebrate a God that is truly amazing. Kids, there's a lot of you here this morning. You're dressed so fancy. If you are 3 to 5 years old or grades 1 to 5, come on down here. Look at all of you. Good morning. So kids, as you make your way down, we'll be continuing worship downstairs. You kids will be going downstairs. But before you do, we want to pray a blessing over you and over your leaders as you head downstairs. So if you're serving in kids' Little Lights Ministries as well, please make sure you're down here as well. Parents, you're welcome to, if you're new here, you're welcome to walk your kids downstairs. We have some great staff and volunteers who can help you with that. Congregation, help me out here. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Did you hear that, kids? All I said was, he is risen, and they responded. So I want to try that with you kids. Did you hear how that went? Okay, children. He is risen. Awesome. Awesome. Great work. Kids, we're going to, the adults in the congregation, if you're comfortable, extend a hand of blessing, and we're going to pray a quick blessing over these kids. Lord, thank you for these children. Thank you for the gift that is young life, that is these amazing, creative, wonderful, beautiful children. Thank you that you know each one of them deeply, that you love them, that you have a plan for them. And Lord, I pray that as they head downstairs today, that they will experience community with each other, with their leaders, that they will hear about your amazing story of salvation and Easter, and that they will experience you in the next few days, and that they will experience you in a way that matters to them and that they can understand. Lord, thank you for your love. Amen. Kids, Little Lights and Leaders exit left. Kids Church, exit right here. Look at that self-restraint. I don't think I could do that. Well, if you are new here, we ask that you fill out a Connect card. As I mentioned earlier, I'm a fan of seeing new faces here, and I'm a bigger fan of people sticking around longer term and getting to know this community. So if you're here in service, there's a Connect card in front of you in the pew. Bring it to the info booth, which is in the foyer after the service, and you will receive a gift. If you're online this morning, just drop a comment. Let us know who you are and where you're from so that a host can connect with you. This morning we're going to take an offering, and that offering is for Resonate Global Mission. So Resonate works alongside Christian Reformed churches with missionary support and church planting resources, helping declare the good news of Easter in local neighborhoods and around the world. Offerings today for Resonate will be matched one-to-one from another donor, which is pretty cool. Let this offering be your gift of thanks to God for his salvation. You can give your offering electronically in the ways listed on the screen behind me, or bring it to one of the boxes. They're in the corner. They're not lit up right now, but you'll see in the corner there's boxes. You can bring them during the fellowship time, which will be coming up soon. Let's pray for the work of Resonate. Lord, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the ability for us to be here together safely in this amazing church, in this building, in this community, in this country. Thank you for the many blessings that we have, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as we take this tithe today, that we'll be mindful and so grateful of the freedom we have, of the wonderful gift we have of this church. And Lord, we thank you for blessing us so richly. I pray that you will bless Resonate as they seek to build churches and to partner with church growth all over the world in places that maybe it's not so easy to do what we're doing here today. And Lord, I pray that you will just work mightily in this mission, that you will multiply the impact, that you will truly touch the lives of the individuals that are getting access to the funds, that this church planting mission will really reap rewards, Lord. And I thank you for your mighty love for us, and I pray that you'll bless us as we give as out of our thanks to you. Amen. Okay, everyone, for fellowship time, we have a 3-minute fellowship time, so a little opportunity to stretch our legs, say hi, grab a coffee. But hear me out, we're not taking these yet. The kids didn't take them, so I think we can probably wait till the end of the service, which leads me into the next thing. This banquet table is a part of our service, serving as a communion table later on. It's a visual of the great banquet we will have with Jesus, our Savior. After the service, you're invited to continue in fellowship, taking something from the banquet table to enjoy with your coffee, which is to say after, not now. We have cameras for online services, obviously. But we are going to be taking our offering today. Like I said, you can drop their offering in the corner or online. When you are seeing people, wish them happy Easter, say hello to people you haven't seen in a while, and feel free to try the He is Risen, because it's a pretty cool, special day to be able to do so. Thanks for having me, New Life. Have a great day.
All right, everyone, please find your seats. With more people in the service, I realize that there's more people to talk to, the more people to say, he is risen indeed, more people in line for coffee. But at the same time, it's a great joy to gather in God's place, to worship God and celebrate together in his sanctuary, in his holy place, to exalt his name and to celebrate the victory that God has displayed mightily in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I know this has been said many times, but let me say it again to you. Happy Easter. He is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Amen. Amen. Now, I was on the way here, I was thinking, man, if people don't shout back really loud, he's risen indeed, I was going to give you a hard time thinking, you know, they probably give a harder shout at the Canucks games or whatnot, but you guys did great. So, praise God. Now, we're currently in this sermon series titled In Remembrance of Me, reflecting on the Last Supper, last Passover meal Jesus had with his disciples before his crucifixion. Now, before we jump into the word, let's pray together for people who may not have been able to make it to celebrate in person because of their illness or perhaps some of the challenges or limitations that might be in their lives that has prevented them from coming here to celebrate together. So we'll spend some time praying for some of our congregation members, pray for them, and for God's presence to meet with them where they are. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we celebrate joyfully the fact that the tomb is empty, that God has raised you to life from death. It's a wonderful thing to gather together in this place with your people to worship. God, we pray and think of those who may not have been able to make the in-person service due to their illness and some of the challenges in their physical health, or perhaps some of the challenges that prevent them from leaving their home. We pray, Lord, especially at this time, that your presence would dwell with them. As the resurrected Lord met his disciples, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would meet with them in their place. Embrace them in your grace and your love, and fill them with your power so that they may joyfully celebrate with all God's people in the presence of you, Lord Jesus, today. So we pray, Lord, that you would be with them and strengthen them at this time, today, and in the weeks to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, last Sunday, Pastor Nathan reflected on the body of Christ and how we are nourished by him. Jesus is the bread of life. And on Good Friday, we reflected on the blood of Christ, and how without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And it is by Christ's blood that he poured out on the cross that we are forgiven. We remember this in the Lord's Supper. His body that was broken for us, his blood that was shed for us on the cross, for our redemption, for our reconciliation with God, so that we may no longer be enemies with God, but his children. Today, we will be looking at and reflecting on the future banquet. Now, while all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, speak of the Last Supper that Jesus ate with his disciples, in just three of them, specifically Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus speaks of having this Passover meal with his disciples again in the coming kingdom. In Matthew 26:29, Jesus says, "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. In Mark chapter 14, verse 24, he says, "Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And in Luke, Jesus says it twice in verses 16 and 18 of chapter 22. In verse 16, starting in verse 15, he says, "And Jesus said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." And it continues, "After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." What does Jesus mean by this? In saying this, Jesus looks forward to the future meal that he will have with his disciples. But we must remember that this is in the context of eating the Passover meal with his disciples. The Passover meal that remembers and celebrates what happened in the past. Namely, in Exodus, when God delivered the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Passover was an important festival for the Jews that celebrated God's deliverance of his people from Egypt, from slavery. It was a time of great deliverance and liberation from slavery in Egypt and oppression. Thus, the Passover meal was a meal of remembrance and identification, understanding it not simply as a celebration of what happened to their ancestors back when that happened, but also a celebration of how God has brought them thus far to the present moment as his people. It's not simply a remembrance of the past, but it leads them up to the present moment. It shapes who they are as people of God in the present. So while eating this meal that remembers and celebrates what God has done in the past and how he has led them up to the present, Jesus gives it a new meaning by connecting the meal to his imminent death and what that will accomplish. Namely, the redemption and deliverance of all mankind from the slavery of sin and death, thereby establishing the new covenant that God spoke about through the prophet Jeremiah. According to an Anglican theologian, David Wenham, by speaking of his death in the context of Passover, Jesus was showing his disciples that his death was going to be a liberating event, much like the Exodus. In this regard, his death became the new Passover. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him, remember and celebrate not only what God has done for us through Jesus back then, but we also remember how he has brought us to this point, to this present moment, having redeemed us and delivered us from the slavery of sin and death. So it's a remembrance meal, not only of the past, but to the present. But the Passover meal was not a meal that only looked at the past or the present, but it also anticipated the future. For the Jews, it was a meal where they celebrated God's act of liberation in the past as well as an anticipation of the future liberation and deliverance from their oppressors. As they celebrated, they believed what God has done in the past, he can and will do it again in the future for them because he is their God and they are his people. In the same way as Jesus was having this meal with his disciples, Jesus also led them to look to the future meal where they will once again eat with him in the coming kingdom. By telling them that he will have this meal again in the kingdom meant that the meal he is instituting to his disciples to partake in remembrance of his death will also be the meal that looks forward to the coming kingdom. So when we participate in the Lord's Supper, it not only points back to what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, leading us up to the present moment, but it also looks forward to his return and the coming kingdom, and with it, the banquet. the banquet. Okay. So the Lord's Supper not only looks back to what Christ has done on the cross, and it looks forward to the future banquet he will have with his disciples. So what does this have to do with Easter? I mean, the Lord's Supper has mostly to do with the death of Christ, and that was Good Friday. That's past. We're talking about the resurrection today. So how is the story of the empty tomb and the risen Lord Jesus Christ connect to this meal? The meal that looks back, that looks at the present, and the future coming kingdom and the banquet. Here's how it's connected. Just as the meal that remembers and proclaims the death of Christ looks both to the past as well as to the present and to the future, the Easter celebration also looks both to the past at the empty tomb and the resurrected Christ, and the present moment of defining who we are as the resurrected people of God, and to the future when our resurrection will fully take place when Christ returns. Do you believe this, church? Yes, Easter is a day that remembers and celebrates the resurrection of Christ, but it also is a day, it also is a day that reminds us of the future hope when all those who believe in Jesus will also be raised like him when he returns. As it is written in Scripture, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. What does it mean that we shall be changed? It means that just as the resurrected body of Jesus was a transformed body, we too will be given a resurrected body that is transformed, just like Jesus' body. His resurrection was a bodily resurrection, as it says in the Bible that his disciples physically touched him. And he also ate food with them. But his resurrected body was also a transformed body in that he was able to appear among his disciples that were hiding behind locked doors. And he disappeared suddenly from their sight. Of course, he also ascended into heaven in this transformed body. So our resurrected body, when Christ returns, will be a transformed body just like his. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, Jesus will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Hallelujah. Also in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul talks about Jesus being raised from the dead as the first fruit of all those who have fallen asleep. He writes, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruit, then when he comes, those who belong to him." Here, Christ is referred to as the first fruits to indicate that he is the first of the whole harvest that is to come. In other words, Christ's resurrection happened first as the guarantee of the resurrection for everyone who has fallen asleep in Christ. And because he was raised, they will also be raised like him from the dead. Not only those who have died in the past, but also those who will die in him. Christ's resurrection continues to be the guarantee for all those who have been incorporated into the body of Christ. And having been brought to life, all those who belong to Jesus will also eat at this banquet meal with him. So in a way, it's more than appropriate that we celebrate the Lord's Supper on Easter, as they both lead us to look backwards to what God has accomplished in Jesus. But they also lead us to look forward to the coming of Jesus when we will all be raised to life like him and partake in this wonderfully abundant banquet in his kingdom. When Jesus returns, he will judge the living and the dead, and God's kingdom will be fully manifested here on earth. Well, he will swallow up death forever and wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. This is the day when God will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. The theme of royal victory and feasts go hand in hand in Scripture. It will be a feast celebrating God's full and final victory over sin, death, and evil. In the book of Revelations, this meal is referred to as the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the angel says to John, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." It's a marriage supper because Jesus, the bridegroom, will finally be united with his bride, his church, for eternity. The Bible tells us that on that day, when the new heaven and the new earth come, God himself will be with his people as their God. And on that day, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. What a glorious day that would be. This is the reason why the story of Easter is good news. Because it proclaims and assures us that Jesus is indeed the long-awaited Messiah, whom God has vindicated as his son by raising him from the dead. The story of Easter is good news because by Jesus' resurrection, we're reminded that death is not final for those who belong to Christ. All those who believe in him, all who turn from their sinful ways and love him as their Lord and King, will be saved and given the assurance of eternal life so that they will join him in the coming kingdom, where they will get to partake in the marriage banquet. This is good news because all of this does not depend on us, on our efforts, on our accomplishments, or any merit that we can earn. It's purely and completely based on the grace of God that is given freely to all those who will receive the invitation. Hallelujah. So what does this all mean for us today? Well, for starters, it means that those who have heard the news and follow the risen Savior are now to go and tell the good news. Go and tell the good news. In all of the gospel accounts of the resurrection, those who find out about the resurrection of Jesus are not told to only hope for the future. They're told to go quickly and to tell others that Jesus is risen. They're not told to sit and meditate on that. They're not told to just simply dwell on the fact that the tomb is empty. They're told to go quickly and tell others that the tomb is empty, that he is not here, he is risen. In the Gospel of Matthew, the angel tells Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, who are the first ones to see the empty tomb, to go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. In the Gospel of Mark, the women are told to go and tell his disciples that he is risen and that he is going ahead of them to Galilee. Also in the Gospel of John, when Mary realizes that it was the risen Jesus, he tells Mary not to cling on to him, but to go and tell his disciples that he will ascend to the Father. Go and tell others, Jesus said. When he appears to his disciples after the resurrection, Jesus sends them just as the Father has sent him and breathes on them, telling them to receive the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. Power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and all throughout the world. In the same way, when we receive the Holy Spirit, it's not for the sake of becoming powerful ourselves, but it's for the sake of being empowered to go and tell others the good news that he is risen. Amen? Amen. Like the servants being told to go out into the streets to invite everyone they see to the wedding banquet, we too are given the task of going out to tell the good news that Jesus has indeed risen. That he is indeed the Messiah who has given his life as a ransom for many, and by it, saving all mankind from their sin and death. That he is indeed the risen Son of God over all creation, whom God has so powerfully raised from the dead so to display that death does not have the last word, but life. And because of this reality, that we have hope beyond death. Death is not final, folks. Death is not the end. Life is. If God has raised Christ from the dead and his Spirit dwells in us, who or what can stand against us? I realize that there might be some among us to whom this may not be so believable. You may not be quite at the place of believing that Christ has risen. I invite you to think and reflect on the story of Easter once again. You may have heard it 1,000 times, or perhaps this is your first time hearing it. And as you do, I invite you to ask Jesus to reveal himself to you. Did you know that even his disciples didn't believe the news that he was raised to life? His disciples that spent 3 years with him, his disciples that have heard Jesus say again and again that he will be handed over, that he will suffer, and that he will be crucified, but on the third day that he will be raised to life again, his disciples doubted. But when Jesus revealed himself, they believed. Alexander Schmemann, a priest and theologian in the Orthodox Church, writes, "Faith is not the acceptance of this or that proposition about Christ, but of Christ himself as the life and the light of life." Faith is not believing certain statements about Jesus or about God. Faith is trusting in Jesus. Faith is in a person. The one named Jesus, who although God himself came down and became human and lived among us to show how much God loves you and me. And he demonstrated his love fully on the cross because he knew that we could not ever possibly bear the punishment that was rightfully due for us, for rebelling against God, saying that we don't want him or need him, even though he has created us and has loved us from the start. Jesus took upon himself the punishment for our sins on the cross and painfully bore upon himself the judgment of God. He died and was buried. But on the third day, God raised him to life. The tomb that he was buried in was empty, which meant that all that Jesus had said about God being his Father and his promises being fulfilled in him, in his life, and in his death, has come true. This meant that all those who believe in him will no longer be separated from God, but be reconciled to God. The gracious invitation to enter into this relationship is the invitation to believe in Jesus, so that all those who believe in him will be reconciled to God the Father as his sons and daughters, and of course, a welcome guest at the banquet table. Faith is a divine gift. So we're invited to ask God to grant us faith. However, though it is God who gives it, it is still something that has to be exercised in response to the movement of God towards us. It involves recognizing certain things to be true regarding the person and the work of Jesus, but it also involves trusting in the one who invites us to trust him, in his love and in his good promises. Now, in the parable of the wedding banquet and the great feast, we see the master telling the servants to go out into the streets and to invite everyone he sees on the streets to come in. Now, on the one hand, as I mentioned before, the servant's responsibility is to obey the master and invite everyone he or she sees on the street. On the other hand, the responsibility of the one invited is to say either yes or no. Say yes to the invitation. Come to the banquet. The invitation is open to eat with Christ in his kingdom that is approaching. Even now, Jesus is preparing his table and his banquet. Will you come? Will you say yes to his invitation? The Bible tells us that the written accounts of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. My prayer is that in hearing the resurrection story on Easter Sunday, and reading it in the Gospels, that you may believe that Jesus is indeed the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the embodiment and visible manifestation of God the Father, who has created and rules sovereignly even now in the present moment and will continue to do so in the future. And that by believing you may have life, life everlasting in his name. So, to participate in the heavenly banquet that is to come. Let's pray. Praise be to you, Lord God, who has powerfully raised your Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. Praise be to you, Lord God, who has redeemed us and saved us from sin and death. Praise be to you, Lord God, who has given your Spirit to us to go and tell the good news that he is risen to the world that is waiting. Praise be to you, Lord God, who grants us faith to believe in the truth and the reality of the risen Lord who rules and reigns in this moment. Praise be to you, Lord God, who invites us so graciously and generously to the banquet table. Lead us, Lord. Lead us to say yes. Lead us to join you at the table. In Jesus' name.
Gone, the mercy fills the streets.
we now come to the table to participate in the meal that looks back to the work of salvation that Jesus has accomplished on the cross. Remembering that this meal also anticipates the coming kingdom and the future banquet that we will get to have with Jesus when he returns. So I know that usually when we take the Lord's Supper, we do it in a solemn mood, reflective mood, and I encourage you to continue to do that. It's fitting that we examine ourselves before we come to the table to repent of any sins that we might have committed against God. But as we come and as we partake, remember that his kingdom is coming. Remember that the banquet is coming. That every Lord's Supper that we celebrate and partake together, the banquet approaches even nearer than before. So Jesus has prepared his table for all who love him and trust in him alone for their salvation. All who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and who desire to live in obedience to him as Lord, are invited and welcome to partake in this meal with gratitude. If you've not received the communion elements on your way in, please raise your hand at this time, and our communion servers will come around and pass them out to you so that you might receive the elements. At his Last Supper with his disciples, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Whenever we eat this bread and drink from this cup, not only do we proclaim Jesus' death until he comes, but we also set our gaze towards the future hope of sharing this meal with Jesus in his kingdom. So with grateful hearts, let us together take this bread and eat, remembering and believing that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of our sins. So I encourage you now to peel the smaller part of the cup. Let's eat together. Let us now take the cup and drink, remembering and believing that the blood of Jesus Christ was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. Let's drink together. Let's pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us, by the help of your Spirit, strength and courage to love and serve you with great anticipation of the banquet and the kingdom to come. In Christ we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we continue to worship in song.
Bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down.
As you go throughout the week, may you stand in the power of Christ. Whatever sphere of life you occupy, whatever area of life you might be struggling in, whatever weakness or challenge that you might find in your own lives or in the lives of others, may we all stand in the power of Christ. As you go from this place, receive these words from the book of Hebrews as your benediction. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in the power of God.